and be turning with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 5.
And as we're all turning, let me get this thing figured out, I'm sorry. As we're all turning, I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. My name is Brother Cody Teague. I have my daughter with me. Unfortunately, my wife and son couldn't make it. We just got back off the road for a few weeks, a little while back. And I don't know what it is. It seems like they always get sick when we're gone from home for too long. So they're down home. But I have a wife, Brandy. Our picture's back there. And we have a bunch of prayer cards back there. If you would, just take one. And every time you see it, just pray for us. I'd be forever grateful for that. But my name is Brother Cody Teague. I have my daughter with me, Eleanor. My wife's name is Brandy. We have a son named Levi. And then we have another son on the way named Silas. So please be praying for safe delivery for him and my wife as well. And we are sent out of Calvary Baptist Church in Buzzard Roost, Mississippi. It's probably about 4 hours south of here. Brother Jacob Bogard's our pastor. We've been going there for several years. I didn't grow up in church or anything. I have very few memories of being in church at a young age. By the time I was 12, I walked down the aisle, made a profession of faith. Followed a man in prayer, had no knowledge of sin, no repentance, anything like that. But I followed the man in prayer, and he told me I was saved, so I thought I was saved. But so I just began trying to bargain with God, trying to say, Lord, if you'll help me with this, then I'll quit doing this, and just tried receiving God's blessings based off of my faithfulness to him. And then fast forward to probably by the time I was about 14 or 15, I didn't believe in the God of the Bible. I started getting mixed up in the occult, started getting mixed up in all sorts of different substances, and then lived that way until really I was 21, but whenever I actually did get saved. But by the time I was 17, I just started realizing that there was something missing in my life, and I began searching for something and began to believe in the God of the Bible, which was a step forward, but still didn't lead me to salvation. I never read the book of James where it said, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. So I thought that because I believed in the God of the Bible that I was good. I started going to church, started praying, trying to go to church, trying to pray, trying to read my Bible. Probably read from Genesis to Judges probably 6 or 7 times and just kept starting over. Like Brother Jacob said, I think it was last night, no matter what I read, none of it made any sense to me. And I just chalked it up to it being in the Old Testament. But then by the time I was 21, I was already on the path of a drunkard, still in bad substances and stuff like that. But the Lord saved me. The Lord showed me that it wasn't about what I was able to do. It was what he had already done for me. And I just had to trust in him. And so I placed my faith in Christ going on 7 years ago now. And then the following year, he led us to a good Bible-believing Baptist church, called me to preach, was faithful to going there, just tried being faithful, whether it be cleaning toilets or knocking doors or passing tracts out, or they wouldn't ever really let me cut the grass, but just really anything it was I could do, I just tried staying busy. There wasn't much of a missions program there, though. It was a Southern Baptist church by name, but it was independent in practice and everything. It was King James only, but there wasn't any kind of missions program there. My extent of mission work was that there were 3 flags at the back of the auditorium, and that was it. I didn't know where they were, who they were going to, what nation those flags represented, anything like that. So I just tried giving a little bit extra above my tithe and thought that sufficed. And then the Lord allowed me to cross paths with our pastor now, Brother Jacob Bogard, at a tent meeting. We had been driving one way to go to church where we were going for about 1.5 years. And then we crossed paths with Brother Jacob Bogard, our pastor, and he knit our hearts together, moved us to Calvary, where we're out of now. And we had joined in September of 2017, and that's when Calvary's annual missions conference was. So I hadn't even been a member of the church there for a whole month yet before Brother Gary Crisp showed up and preached on missions, and it blew my hair back. I'd never heard anything like that before. The Lord really spoke to me one night. I can still remember Brother Gary was preaching from Romans 10 about the Lord needing more than just your money. That really what the Lord wants is your heart. The Lord doesn't need our money, but what he wants is our heart and our faithfulness. And when he has that, he'll have everything that we have. And the Lord really spoke to me that night, and so I just surrendered to whatever it was the Lord had for me. It wasn't until a long story, but it wasn't until probably around the middle of 2018 that I really had it narrowed down on exactly what it was we were going to be doing. We had met a man by the name of Brother Steve Harper. Our church has supported him from day one at the very first missions conference, probably about 8 or 9 years ago now. But he'd been getting up in age, and he'd been praying for the Lord to send him a younger family to be able to train to take over the ministry. And so that's where we come in. I can still remember whenever the Lord first called me into missions, like exactly what Brother Jacob was saying. Anywhere I went, I tried going to every missions conference I could. Anytime I'd hear of a missionary coming to a church and it didn't hinder me being at my church, I'd go listen to him, and one man would stand up and present the need to Papua New Guinea, and I thought I needed to go to Papua New Guinea. And the next man would stand up and present the need to Ghana, Africa, and I thought that's where I needed to go. And thankfully, I realized I needed to just get alone with the Lord and find His will for my life specifically. And so I just began fasting, praying, reading the Bible, and He narrowed it down to partner with Brother Steve. But the verse that he really used in my life to solidify that I needed to work with him is Joshua 11:15. I had driven up to Georgia where he lives, and had spent the weekend. Honestly, didn't have any desire to partner with him up there. Just wanted to go and fellowship with him and hear more about the ministry that he had. And he just laid everything out there, told me his whole vision, told me what the Lord had been doing over the last 13 years, or about probably 10 years then. But then I drove home and just kept praying about it, and was really open to whatever it was the Lord had for me. And one night, whenever I was reading the Bible, the Lord led me to Joshua 11:15, and it reads, "As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." And the Lord really spoke to my heart that night and told me that's exactly what He wants me doing, is just picking up right where Brother Steve left off and continuing the ministry. I know we get a lot of questions on how we're on two opposite sides of the world, and it's a good thing to be concerned about. But the way the ministry works, I don't want to say the bulk of the ministry is in India, because like we heard last night, the fields are white to harvest everywhere. But as far as village evangelism and church planning and discipleship and that kind of stuff goes, the bulk of the ministry is in India. Brother Steve had been going over there for now right at 13 years. The Lord started 16 churches over there through the ministry. We have a children's home over there where we have about 10 boys right now. We're praying and seeking the Lord's will and His help to expand the facility there to be able to take in more boys, as well as being able to take in girls in the future. We have a Bible college where we train national men to partner with us in the ministry, and we send them out. That's how some of the churches have been started already. And really, it's just our heart's desire to minister to these young boys. Some of them, their parents either can't take care of them or don't want to take care of them. And it doesn't matter how big of a facility we build over there. We'd never be able to take all of them in, but we just try to minister to the ones that the Lord allows us to. And we feed them, we clothe them, but most importantly, we give them the gospel. I'm a firm believer that humanitarian aid without the gospel is pointless. If we're not giving them the gospel, we're not meeting their greatest need. Feeding them and clothing them is good. Giving them a place to live is good. But I'm not trying to sound harsh or anything, but I'd rather these boys die of starvation and spend eternity with the Lord than die with a full belly and spend eternity in hell. But thankfully, the Lord allows us to give them their physical needs as well. And we're praying about getting a girls' home started. The Lord has just recently opened up a door for us to be able to minister to the girls that are homeless over there with the way their culture is over there. Once a girl becomes homeless, if she's old enough to provide daily household chores and stuff like that, she'll partner herself with the family and go and live with them and cook and clean, that kind of stuff, in exchange for her basic needs. But a lot of the times what they run into is the man of the house will take advantage of them. And so the Lord's just recently opened up a door for us to be able to minister to them, to give them a skill, to teach them how to sew. In the meantime, while we're trying to get a place built to be able to take them in, we're able to give them a skill to get out on their own, hopefully at least some. So the Lord's been blessing that. He's already given us a building right there next to the church in Gampalagudam. There's the church in Gampalagudam is full of women that sew for a living in factories. So we're hoping the Lord will bless that. Please pray for that. Help us pray that that we can also get a Christian school started. Right now, all the boys over there are going to public school, and they're getting indoctrinated there. But thankfully, we've got the God of all creation that helps us teach them the Bible as well. And so they're definitely not just hearing it from one side, and we're teaching them against what they're teaching them in the public school, but they are still being exposed to it some, unfortunately. So help us pray about that. We already have a piece of property, just a bunch of regulations and hoops and stuff to jump through. And then with the way the Indian government works, we're not able to stay over there full time since we don't get a business visa, or I'm not married to someone over there. So the way it had started probably about 10 or so years back was Brother Steve had just started praying for the Lord to give him another open door of ministry to keep him busy when he wasn't in India. And a missionary couple was having to come off the field that were helping a couple churches hold vacation Bible schools in Venezuela. So their pastor contacted Brother Steve, so he jumped right in on it. And since then, over the years, it's grown to where we help about 80 to 90 different churches hold vacation Bible schools in Venezuela, Costa Rica, Panama, and Peru. The Lord's moving my heart to expand that ministry some. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew any of the details. I just know he's put it on my heart to expand that some, whether it be helping church planters or getting more involved in church planting in one way, shape, or form. But I'm just thankful that he knows all the details. I just have to yield to him and be faithful to him, and I know he'll pave the way for it. But in India, I forgot to mention this, the population over there is about 1.4 billion people. So to kind of put things in perspective, America has a little over 300 million, closer to about 330 million last time I checked. But so four times what's in the U.S. is what's over there in India. And it's estimated that somewhere over 90%, I think it's close to about 95% of all the world's Hindus live in India. As far as what the religion over there in India is, it's about 80% Hindu, somewhere around 14% Islam, which that's growing, and then somewhere around 2-3% Christian. It's kind of hard to get a good number exactly of how many Christians are over there, because one, they group in Catholicism and Seventh-day Adventist and Mormonism and all the other cults that are over there that tag Christ onto them. And then aside from that, there's a lot of persecution over there. Whenever you, it's kind of like what you hear about over in Israel. If someone claims to be a Christian and makes a public profession of faith, then in some places they'll have honor killings. But just about anywhere they completely forfeit any kind of government assistance that they have. So that is an issue that we've run into, people getting saved and not wanting to make a public profession. So help us pray about that as well. But in the meantime, I was able to spend about a couple weeks over there before COVID. We haven't been able to get back since, but we're planning a trip over there sometime this fall. Help us pray about that. And I'll be able to spend more time over there, so I'm excited about that. I was working a full-time job the last time I went. But as far as the work in Central and South America goes, right now I am practicing Spanish. If you can't already tell, you'll be able to tell once I start preaching. I'm not the best with English, but do help us pray that the Lord will help me with Spanish. I'm able to retain vocab and things like that, but I struggle with English grammar, and I'm struggling with Spanish grammar some. But I just know that if I can, I have a heart for them. If I can just talk to them a little bit, then I believe the Lord will bless it. It's not me they're having to trust. If I can just get the gospel to them, then that's what they have to trust. But in the meantime, while I'm trying to learn Spanish, we'll be going down there and I'll be able to preach with interpreters some, but we're able to preach the gospel to thousands of kids each year down there through all the different churches. And in the meantime, I'll just be wiping noses, cutting out arts and crafts, packing lunches, driving buses if they trust me enough to do that. Hopefully they will. But if you would, just please pray for us. I'm excited to just whatever it is the Lord has for me. And that's kind of what I want to focus on a little bit this morning. If you found your place in Luke 5, we'll be reading the first eight verses. Just a real simple thought. In Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family, Lord. Thank you again for saving me. Thank you for what we've heard this week about your faithfulness, Lord. I ask that you'd help us to be more faithful to you, dear Lord. Just if we could just be half as faithful to you as what you are to us, Lord, I know we'd be able to get a lot more done for you, Father. I ask that you give each and every one of us what we need to hear this morning and help us to do it all for your honor and glory. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the great catching of fish miracle. And verse 10, Christ says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And so that's kind of the direction I want to take it. Just use different aspects of the story to gear towards what Christ, I believe, ultimately let them go through that to teach them. And just briefly going verse by verse through some of it, back in verse 1 where it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake. And really everything that happened began by Christ seeing a need for the people, which was a lack of the word of God. And that's what he was trying to help them get, was to be able to hear the word of God. And really, just like over in India, like I said, they need food. Over here, some people may think that we need a new president, but really what the whole entire world needs is the word of God, because it doesn't matter if we have a different president. If he's an unsaved man, he's still an unsaved man. And what this whole country, what this whole world needs is the word of God, is the greatest need that anyone has. I'm reminded in Romans 10 and 1, and I'm not real strong on the history back then, but I know that the Jewish people were going through a lot back then. I mean, intense persecution. And in Romans 10:1, Paul says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He didn't say that he wished that they could get delivered from the Roman persecution or anything like that. He said his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You can look at Romans 10:14-15, where it says, How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then again, same chapter, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If people are going to get saved and live a life for God and bring him honor and glory, they have to hear the word of God. They just have to. There's no other way to get saved other than by the word of God. If it wasn't for the word of God, I would know nothing about God. I would know nothing about him at all. I wouldn't know of his love for me. I wouldn't know about my sin nature. I wouldn't know of his payment for my sin nature, of him being able to redeem me from sin, death, and the grave. We have to get the word of God out. And thankfully, Christ sees fit to use us to do that. I mean, he's God. Really, he could go about it however he wants to. In the Old Testament, he used a donkey to get his message to someone. And so thankfully, we're able to take part in this great big work that he has for us. And so here we see that Christ saw an opportunity to allow others to get involved in it. In verse 2 he says, or the Bible says, that he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So I just try to put myself in these men's shoes. They had been fishing all night. You can tell later on, and we'll get a little bit into that if we have time, but they were seemingly done for the day. They had spent all night fishing. They were there on the shore. They were washing their nets. They were getting ready to pack up and go home. And then Christ comes and has other plans for him. And I'm just reminded that thankfully, I'm not trying to go to Idaho like what I once was. I wasn't trying to do my plans because I had other plans from what the Lord has for me. And it just seems like that in almost every area of my life. You may not be like I am, but it seems like any plan that I've ever had for my life in the grand scheme of things has been against God's will for my life. And I just had to be willing to to trust Him and have the faith in Him that His will is better than mine. But most people I talk to, it seems like that's just kind of a common occurrence, is that God's plans is different than their plans. But I'm thankful that God's plans are always better than our plans are. In verse 3, you see, so in verse 2 it says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he, verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So the first thing that I think about with Simon, who is Peter, is his availability. And so often, I know with myself and other people, we tend to get focused on things that aren't necessarily bad, but that hinder the work of God in our lives and hinder our availability for God in our lives. And I mean, we could stand here all morning and make a long list of things, whether it be television or hobbies or sports. I mean, you name it. And being honest, sometimes ministry itself can get in the way of our availability to God, and just trying to go on what we think we need to do in the ministry and not being open to what God has for us in the ministry. But so really, no matter what it is that's in your life, even if it's not a bad hobby or a bad thing that you do, you have to stay open and available to the will of God. We can't allow anything to take the place in the forefront of our minds and hearts where God rightly deserves to have that spot. And so they were exactly where Christ needed them to be and available to His service. And I just think about how oftentimes I'll start getting busy on things and just sometimes go to, once again, not bad places, but not exactly where God wants me to be. And there's no telling what kind of opportunities I've missed out on, whether it be me having something planned and missing out on a church meeting or really just anything. We have to be available to God and be willing to go where He wants us, when He wants us, for whatever reason He wants us. And then we're able to hear from God and know His will for our lives. There's been, I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. There's no telling what I would have missed out on if I wouldn't have been open to just going to church, because every single major decision I've made in the ministry, God has spoke to me through going to church, through the preaching of God's Word. So we have to make sure that we're available, and not just available, but also willing. I mean, Simon was available. He was there where he needed to be, but he could have easily said, well, I mean, I'm already done. I'm done for the day. I really don't feel like getting back out in my ship. I've already cleaned up and all this. But he didn't do that. He was still willing to just obey the Lord. They were willing to drop everything that they were doing and to just go with the Lord. And the Lord may not be calling you into the ministry. I am a firm believer that if you're born again, you are a missionary, whether it be to here or overseas or different counties. I mean, whatever it is. But if we're going to be effective for the Lord, ultimately what we have to be is available and just willing to whatever it is that He has for us, whether it be willing to ditch our future plans or, which like I already said, are oftentimes different than God's, but just simply willing to obey Him in faith, believing that His will is perfect and is always 10 times out of 10 better than our will. Verse 4, he goes on to say, or the Bible says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So first Peter was faithful in just going out a little ways from the land. He was faithful in the small things. And then Christ told him to launch out into the deep. He had to get out of his comfort zone. And 10 times out of 10, I'm out of my comfort zone right now. Just being honest with you, I'm not good standing in front of people. The Lord's helped me over time going through the ministry, preaching all the different churches we have. But I'm thankful that the Lord allows us to get out of our comfort zone and just to rely on Him to see us through whatever it is He asks us to do. But we first and foremost, we have to be faithful in the small things. And I mean, you name it. If He tells you to pick up a piece of trash, I always try to remember that really there's no small job when it comes to the Lord. There's just a big God that asks us to do things. And sometimes we may think it's small, but ultimately, we have to be faithful in the little things that are seemingly trivial, because like it says in the gospel, he that's faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so thankfully, they were available and willing, and the Lord told them to go out deeper. And sometimes I know in my life, serving Christ, requires a leap of faith. There may be something in front of you that you just can't figure out how you're going to get past it or how it's going to work out. And like I was talking with Brother Jacob just the other day, in every pivotal point in my life where I made a big decision, I didn't know exactly how things were going to work out until I made that leap of faith. And just like Israel in the Red Sea, I mean, behind them Egypt was coming, before them was an ocean. On each side of them there were mountains and no telling what in the mountains. And God just said, just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And that's exactly how we have to be in our life. If the Lord's calling you to do something, I know this is a missions conference. If the Lord's calling you to give some kind of number that you just don't understand how it's going to work out, God knows exactly how it's going to work out. And I'm just thankful to be able to take part in it. But so they had to do more than just go a short ways out, and then they were able to see the Lord perform miracles. Let me skip over some of this. I'm thankful that command that he gave in verse 4, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. They had just fished in this lake for who knows how long, and they didn't catch anything. But Christ says, go and do this, and I promise you, you'll get something out of it. And that shouldn't be our motivation to serve the Lord, but like it's already been discussed, you cannot outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't outserve God. Anything that he calls us to do, really there's no such thing as a sacrifice when it comes to serving the Lord, when in comparison to what he has done for us. But I'm just thankful that command came with a promise. It seemed unreasonable by Peter's logic, and sometimes what Christ asks us to do doesn't make any sense, whether it be giving, especially in today's economy, or going and witnessing to some people. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense to us. But I'm thankful in Psalms 126 and 6, he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But the first thing we have to do is go. It says, he that goeth forth. So first, we just have to be willing to go. Once again, just do whatever it is that the Lord's asking of you. But secondly, we have to have a real burden and zeal for the things of God, because the people that we're going out ministering to, it's easy to spot a fake. It really is. If you're trying to sell something to someone and they're not convinced that you're sold on it, then they're not going to want to listen to you. And the same exact thing's true with salvation and us trying to give the gospel. If we don't believe that it's truly good news that they need, then they're not going to want to listen to us. But that precious seed it talks about, once again, is more than just humanitarian efforts, and it's more than just money. It's the Word of God. I'm thankful we're able to use money to get the Word of God out, but ultimately, I mean, we can use our lips. Sometimes it doesn't even cost us anything to get the Word of God out. God's given us breath in our lungs and an able body to be able to go out and spread the Word of God. And he's preserved it for us throughout all this time to be able to tell people in just about every language. Verse 5, he says, and Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. So he had toiled, he was working in the flesh, and he said, and have taken nothing. He had nothing to show for it. But Simon said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he obeyed Christ in spite of his work, which is the present. He was already right in the middle of something. He was washing his nets, but he realized that Christ's work is more important than anything that we could possibly be doing at any given moment. But also he obeyed Christ in spite of his past work. I know sometimes things that I'll struggle with as well, Lord. I mean, I just spent all this time preaching and going out and driving and studying. So I'm just going to sit down and relax for a little bit. And he'll try to tell me to do something, and I obey him, thankfully. But sometimes it's a struggle where I look at something that I've already done and try to rationalize in my mind, well, I don't have to do what you're asking me to do now because I've already done something you've asked me to do. But if I'm still alive, and I'm just being real with you, I know that's wicked, but if I'm still alive, the fact that I'm standing and breathing right now, God still has something for me. And the same exact thing's true for you. God doesn't just save us to give us fire insurance, because if he did, he'd take us home to heaven as soon as we got saved. He saves us for a purpose to bring him honor and glory. And so in verse 6 it says, and when they had this done, whenever they obeyed the Lord, it says in verse 6, and when they had this done, whenever they obeyed the Lord, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. So they received that promised blessing. And really the only reason that we're blessed is because of what Christ has done, but we're able to experience the peace and the love and the joy of God and his faithfulness. But sometimes it requires us to just step out on a limb sometimes. To just step out on a limb and just to be obedient. We're able to experience the victory that Christ has purchased for us just by walking in simple faith and obedience to the Lord. But and then just in closing, in verse 8, ultimately the whole reason for everything that we do, verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So Peter saw the glory of Christ in this miracle. And really, I mean, that's the whole reason we do what we do. I mean, if not for trying to further the kingdom of God, if not for us being able to take part in his future glory one day, we would have no blessed hope. There'd be no reason for us to even come to church this morning. But thankfully, we have that blessed hope. Christ is alive and well right now. We have the precious word of God. We have a gospel that we're able to go tell this lost world. So if you would, just pray for us. Pray for whatever it is the Lord would have you do. I'll go ahead and pray as the pastor's coming. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you've given each and every one of us, Lord. I ask that you just help us to be obedient to you, Father, whatever it is you ask us to do, whether it be seemingly simple to us or seemingly big to us, Lord. Just help us to be obedient and just trust you in simple faith, Lord. And I ask that you'd help us to do it all for your honor and glory, and that we wouldn't try to take any of it for ourselves, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness once again. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.